and really lays out a blueprint for individuals like myself who have been kind of out there in the wilderness for a little while, trying to leverage these kinds of knowledges and these kinds of capabilities to execute our mission day in and day out. So when we talk about those types of light technologies, that's part of the plan, shared service concepts, things of that nature, things that we've kind of grown in our own environment, it takes on a real authoritative view, because we get a lot of leadership that sees us coming from the White House and says, you know, those are the types of things we need to be involved in. And when they look in their organizations and they see elements of their organizations executing their missions in those types of ways, A, it gives confidence that, you know, the leadership in those areas are doing what they're supposed to be doing, but it gives them a lot of confidence in that they can execute that mission that's coming from, in this case, the White House and Mr. Kundra. So there's a real win-win situation there, both from the executing side, Mr. Kundra's staff, knowing there's elements out there that can do these types of things, that have done these types of things, and also from the other side that says, hey, we're doing the right thing. These are the types of things we should be looking at. But there's several other factors in the planning, in this plan, that really lays out a blueprint for the future as well. Things like having an IT program management career path. That's not something you hear every day in the process, but definitely needed. And so those types of things we looked at not only for the past, but things we can grow as part of our culture and laying out those processes for the future.
I know some of what I heard was a 25-point plan. My goodness, that's a lot to almost ingest. Part of what I hear you saying is there's almost something there for everybody to work on in some way, shape, or form.
Absolutely. That's absolutely true. And a lot of it, of course, when you get down into the deep elements of the plan where they talk about, you know, interaction with Congress, things of that nature, we don't really get involved with that our level. But there's a lot of elements of the staff the plan that really can be executed here today. I'll give you a couple of instances where we've really taken a concept of the plan and really made it our own, but also we've executed programs and projects around. When we talk about, you know, infrastructure as a service and cloud computing and cloud-first concepts, one of the first missions that we saw here when we arrived on station was we had tons of servers located all around the world, and each had to be managed and each had to be supported in its own environment. And so over the last couple of years, we've developed a program. We call it Server Consolidation Program, very original, but that's basically what we're doing. And so we've consolidated, the project has been ongoing for about a year and a half, and we're probably about 85% through that project. And so we've consolidated about 100 of the 117, we've consolidated about 85% of those into a single hosting center that provides service out to those, you know, 90-95 offices that now derive their contract writing application through that centrally hosted capability. And so we're doing those things today. And so that, to me, that just reinforces the concept that, you know, cloud first, light technologies, these types of things can work. And when we scale down into areas like, IT program management career paths, one of the things we did to wrap that program around and assure ourselves success is we developed this program management culture around it. Most of the people who work in a G6 environment are going to be IT people.
Yeah.
And so they've been raised in certain concepts with certain functions. And so program management is not second nature to them. So we've invested in a program management capability, a mentoring capability we call the program management office, to provide our project leads, our task leads, some program management oversight and mentoring capabilities so they can grow their project associated with cost, schedule, and performance parameters, so that each project understands what its mission is, what the requirements of that project is, lays out an executable schedule, and then follows that schedule to completion. And so those are a lot of the things that are being talked about in the plan, is how do you get these large-scale projects from inception all the way to execution and through completion. And those are the types of things that we really looked at here in the Army Contracting Command to execute our mission day in and day out. So the smallest tasks, and I've always felt that, you know, if you take this program management training, you can apply it not just to your everyday job, but you can apply it to you know, your personal life as well. So when you sit there and you want to buy a new car, things of that nature, you lay out what are the elements of a car that I really want to have, you know, and what's my, how am I going to pay for that car, you know? Do I need to set out a schedule by which I make payments, or if people are lucky, they can just pay it in one fell swoop,
yeah.
But they can do quality controls and things of that nature that's elemental to a program management concept. They can apply those concepts to their not only daily tasks and project tasks, but also to other tasks as well. So if I sound a little excited about the plan, I really am, because it really kind of lays out some of the things we've been working on for a couple of years now and gives us a couple of things that we can think about moving forward.
And I know part of the elements of this, one of the elements is you guys want to do things in smaller, more modular, biteable chunks. Been talked about, I mean, for as long as I've been covering this stuff, which is going on 7,000 years now, this has been something that's been in the discussion. People say, okay, we need to, and yet it seems like it's difficult to actually do. Why is this difficult to actually implement? How have you actually implemented some of these provisions?
Well, generally speaking, people want to accomplish, you know, it's the Big Bang concept.
Yeah.
You know, they want to take something that's large and complex, and they want to do it all. And a lot of times, it's a little bit more than you can really bite off. And so some of the things, you have to start at a smaller scale. And so a lot of the things we've tried to do is really kind of get down into the requirements aspect of what it is we're trying to accomplish and really kind of break it down from there. You know, until you really kind of look at that whole environment and decide really what's manageable and what's not, you really add a lot of risk to any program by overreaching. And so what we've tried to do is break things down to a smaller components, start with the core, you know, and build, you have to start with a core process, and you have to build that first. And then once you build a core that's scalable, that's usable for a broad context of different functions, then you can start working on the modularity to support that core capability. What generally happens is people build a core, but they build all the applications as well that service that core. And they try to do it all at one time. And sometimes that becomes a large scale project that has to be managed over a great number of years, and that becomes a real issue. And so if you start on a smaller scale, identify the core capability that you really need to put in place, and then modularize the other pieces. That allows you really to do a couple of things. It allows you to execute that core capability to a great degree and into a final state. Then it also allows you to really think through how those other applications work with that core and really gives you the time and energy you really need to complete those capabilities. So but a lot of that starts with, you know, best practices, requirements platform, planning, budgeting, things of that nature. And all of that kind of rolls into the whole concept as you start a major project.
And so some of the folks who are out there are not as far along on this path as you guys are. Where does one start? What would you recommend? What's a good place to start?
Well, what I always suggest to people starting any project is to really kind of sit down and kind of think through. One of the real traps in these concepts, when we come out and we decide we want a capability that does a certain thing, the real trap there is you get product-oriented real fast. You look at an end-state solution before you really thought through your specific requirements that you need any application to execute for you to get your mission done. And so, you look for something completely off the shelf, or someone comes in the door and says, you know, our system does this. And before you've really kind of defined the role and function of what it is you're trying to accomplish, you've selected a solution. And that's a real trap to fall into, because no off-the-shelf solution is going to be able to give you what you need to 100% level. What it's going to give you is a certain percentage. That may or may not meet your requirement, but you usually don't find that out until you're well along the acquisition process.
Yeah.
So really what I always mentor people on starting projects is really take a hard look at, whether it's a large project, small project, or whatever, really take a look at what is the root capability that you're looking to put in place. Define that to your specific needs and requirements, and then you can start the trail for an end state. Too many people too often start with the end state, and they're surprised when they get to the end of the journey that it doesn't quite meet their requirements.
And part of what I'm hearing you say is you need to start down, try, do something.
Yes. Something is always better than nothing.
Yeah, but so often we've all seen it when projects just basically get stuck.
Yes, and that's the moment of realization where the needs roll into what I have.
Yeah,
and that's what I was alluding to a little bit earlier, is take the time and effort, put processes in place up front that allow you to really kind of work your requirements process to a definition point where you can really move forward. And once you know, now, does that have to be at 100% level? No, it certainly does not. You could be at an 80% level and be ready to move forward. But I would put to you at an 80% level, you pretty much know what you're looking for, the types of capabilities you're looking for, maybe even the technologies. And the other piece of that is really putting together the functional element with the technology element. Too often, the functional element overrides the technology capability, and they don't bring the technologist into the process until later into that acquisition, and that's way too late. If you do the partnership up front and allow both elements to talk about what they need, from a functional aspect and what they need from a technology aspect, certain certifications, certain capabilities associated with networks, certain capabilities associated with hardware, certain capabilities associated with platforms as a whole. Then you can capture those pieces up front, and then you can go forward and look at these other capabilities that are out there that are being put on the table for you and really kind of checklist and see, does it meet my requirement or does it not? To do those types of things, you really have to lay a process out and put a team together that really kind of encapsulates both the functional and the technical element together and move forward along those lines. Part of what we try to do here is a portfolio management capability, part of governance. We've also we're in the process now of developing review teams from both functional, technical, and budgetary processes, but the key aspects of what we're trying to grow out through those three capabilities is not to stovepipe those capabilities, but have elements of each capabilities in each other's area of operation. So if you're meeting today on a budget session, you know, you have your functional people there, you have your technical people. If you're meeting technical, some functional people are there, as are budgetary. And so everybody, you grow this core capability, this core knowledge center that really is tied to the project and is looking at things three-dimensionally, not in a linear fashion, whether it's functional, technical, or even a business aspect. So those are the types of things that really lend themselves to developing a three-dimensional project that has a better-than-even chance of succeeding long-term through its life cycle. If you can accomplish those types of things and really look at those types of things in those sorts of ways, the partnerships that you gather from bringing those pieces together sustain you not only through the initial element of product selection, but through the life cycle of execution of that capability, all the way to closure and then the rebirth or the genesis of the next capability.
Wow, I really need you to come out of your shell a little bit. We're having trouble tapping that passion.
I have a problem with that.
That's not a problem.
I started reading the 25-point plan. I was really kind of excited about it.
I
emailed it quickly to all of our leadership and said, hey, you know, someone's reading our strategic plan.
I think it's fantastic. Just quickly, anything I didn't ask you about that I should have?
There's a lot of things here, I think, in the plan, and I think you touched on it a little bit earlier, that different people can take out of it. And what I take out of it, because we've kind of moved along a lot of the paths that have been laid out there, but when I look, one of the things when I read the plan is the concept of the IT program manager, and what I devolved that into our function here, and I looked at, you know, one of the challenges we've had with the program management culture here is that, you know, we do have a lot of IT people, and they're not, it's not second nature to them to do the program management piece. So how could I kind of, you know, develop more of a hybrid capability that allowed both elements to coexist and flourish within our environment? And I started talking to some friends of mine, and I don't know if you're familiar with the ITIL process, the Information Technology Infrastructure Library.
Right.
But that's really lays out a program management function type thing for IT professionals to look at their work processes, to lay out some checklists, things you should be looking at in different IT environments. And so we've started the project of kind of marrying those two processes, the ITIL process and the program management function, and develop some sort of a hybrid culture that allows both to execute, sustain, and flourish. And so, and I got that thought by just reading through the plan and looking at some of the things we're trying to accomplish, you know, as a community, as a Department of Defense community, and so that benefited me quite a bit. So I was pleased with that.